If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fancy.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not, no, that's not.
Wait.
Yeah. That's true, you do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want this.
They don't want it.
Toby and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit her with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy. Okay, Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs in the stars with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better mode in. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side fly. Goose like a large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the peak. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever and cute as can be. You can watch this on YouTube and view it for free. This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Ah, man. Tommy was quibbling last night. Tommy was quibbling last night. He was not happy. Didn't go all the way, though, Leroy. He didn't go all the way. Did you see what happened to the Marlins game last night, Leroy?
No, I did.
No, none of you tuned in to watch the Marlins try and tie a franchise record last night? Nobody?
Sorry, I didn't.
What? You know what? I was in the middle of the rain and trying to prepare my ribs.
Prepare your ribs? What are you? Yeah. What are you, Rocky Balboa? Are you hitting the cow? You're gonna break it up, Paulie.
Clearly, you're not a top level griller.
Hey, dude, I'm not. First of all, I'm a top level griller. Oh, second of all,
no, you're not. Second no, you're all, not.
No, I'm a top level.
No, you're not. If you just open up the pack of ribs, throw some seasoning on it, and throw it on the grill.
Hold on.
You gotta prep the ribs.
Uh-huh. Cool.
You gotta shave the ribs. You gotta get the membrane off the back. It takes a little time.
Okay.
Don't especially you when you're cooking Tim Racks.
Where did you do this? In the kitchen or outside?
In the kitchen.
Okay. You don't have a phone? You can throw the fish on? Like, you can just throw them. Oh, wait. You could see the TV in your living room. You didn't throw the fish on in the background? A little rib prep? A little ribbies for the rib prep?
My wife was watching TV.
Fine. Well, you want to know something? Here's what happened, okay? The Marlins got completely screwed out of keeping their win streak going because of a slow-footed umpire who I don't even know if he was hit by the baseball. Because the Marlins in the sixth inning, Jesus Sanchez leads off with the double. Kyle Stowers, who's one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now, hit his 15th home run of the season yesterday. He gets up there and he hits a real piss whistle up the middle. And this is easily scoring Jesus Sanchez. He could have walked backwards and would have scored. And this umpire throws up the hands as he does a little do-si-do. Maybe the baseball hit him. I didn't see it hit him. He calls umpire interference, which
he only gets one base.
He gets no bases. No bases. He says, Jesus Sanchez, you stay your ass at second base. Only Stowers gets a hit. So it's first and second, two outs. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wait, how is that even possible?
Great question, Leroy. That's a great question. How is it possible?
Wait, Tobin. How is that possible?
Jennifer, great question. How in the hell is that possible that this dim-witted, slow-footed umpire who may or may not have been hit is allowed to just say,
the ball make it to the outfield?
Easily, dude. We all thought it was a single up the middle. We thought it was a single, a rocket, and the dude, Jesus Sanchez was like, I could moonwalk to first base. He was off and running. There was two outs. Go on contact.
I can't figure out. Here's the part that I would have a problem with. If it was two outs, there's nothing in the world that could happen that wouldn't at least get him third base.
100%!
Because he's moving anyway on the pitch.
But let's forget about even that. I don't even know if it hit the umpire. I don't think it did. It went, and the guy's like, oh, he was doing this crane kick to try and get out of the way. I think he did, but he did the old, it touched me, coach, I touched the ball. And I'm like, why don't you shut up, dude? That ball was going, what did they say? I think they said it was 117 miles an hour off Stauer's bat. A missile. And they're like, I think it hit me.
So my question to you is this. And I used to say this in football. If your old fat ass can't get out of the way of a ball that's hit 90 to 100 feet away, then your ass shouldn't be doing that, okay? The biggest problem I had in football is you got a whole bunch of 50-plus guys on a retirement plan trying to chase world-class athletes around, and when they can't keep up, they have a device or a mechanism that they can use to bail them out.
Well, the thing
is, that's basically what that was.
He's not
because, hey, my slow fat ass couldn't get out of the way, so I'm gonna say it hit me.
Well, I know why you're shaming him, but he wasn't even a fat umpire. He wasn't even an old umpire. I know why we think all umpires look like Country Joe West.
I'm watching it right now. I just assume all umps are old.
Of course, we all think they look like Country Joe West. Barely can see. Kind of look like pugs. But, everybody's confused. They're like...
Wait. How does a ball that hits the umpire get all the way almost damn near to the wall?
Because I don't even think it hit him! I don't even think it hit him! I think he was afraid it hit him, and he just reacted with his arms
Oh, my God. I was so...
Wait, why is he looking at the runner?
He was
looking this way.
And McCullough's like, excuse me? And the guy's like, there's nothing I could do. And that's what they just kept saying. There's like, well, there's nothing you could do. Once you call it, you call it. It's over. Dead ball. It's like, huh?
What do you mean? Replay. Robots. What are we doing here? We're talking to the Marlins are sitting here rolling right now. And our old cement feet can't get out of the way.
Why is he that close anyway?
I don't know, dude.
Wait, he's closer than the second baseman. He basically has to be a second baseman to get out of the way in Major League Baseball.
He's probably there to get in position to, call a pickoff, I guess. I'm guessing that's the only reason is because they're probably holding the runner at second. And he's like, well, if they try and pick him off, I got to be in this position. I'm guessing that's why. But who cares? It didn't hit him. Marlins got screwed out of a run. Should be tied. I mean, it was...
And the problem is, McCullough's too nice.
I mean...
Because I knew that there's a lot of ball coaches that would have lost their mind.
The great Lloyd McClendon would have taken second base away. He would have been like, I'm taking second base and you're doing nothing about it. Tommy Hutton yesterday. See, you know, Tommy Hutton, he's a gem. Even though he told us not to quibble, this man can be top quibbler when it comes to the umpires. And you could tell he was... I think what happened yesterday, you know, the Marlins have a new television voice, Kyle Seeloff, who's done a very good job this year. But it's a new relationship. I feel like if he's there with Rich Walsh in his real comfort zone, he's going over the edge and he wants to strangle that umpire. But I think he felt a little reserved because it's a new partnership. But Tommy Hutton's like, what do you? He's like, Tommy Hutton, do you know how much baseball Tommy Hutton has watched, Jennifer?
It's possibly been as many hours as he's been alive.
He has watched so much baseball. And he said, I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't think I've ever seen that. Especially of that consequence.
The thing that I hate, right, is a player can boot the ball. A pitcher can throw a bad pitch. A hitter can strike out. Right? To lose a game, but under no circumstances should it ever be the guys there watching the game, under no circumstances. And never. And the problem I have with that is anytime I watch any sport and the people that aren't the players affect the game, then I have a problem with that. And so the whole problem with that is you made yourself a part of a game that you shouldn't be a part of. Like, does the people that decided, because here's what happens. They go to school for all this and they figure out the positioning in different circumstances. And what I would like Major League Baseball and the umpires and refs to tell me to explain this. When certain guys get up who hit the ball so damn hard that the second baseman and the shortstop are almost in the outfield to make a play, the top of the top in their profession, what makes you think you can get the hell out of the way standing in the infield? Explain that to me. It's stupid that he was even there in the first place. That's the problem I have with all of this. As hard as that ball was hit, even with the second baseman on the edge of the grass, to make a play, he's got to dive. The best of the best. And we got old fat ass in a uniform sitting in the infield thinking he's going to be able to get out of the way when the professionals are 15 yards behind him.
I don't even think that he got hit. That's the other thing. That ball was so scorching. There. Like, why did he call that?
A lot of sports has to do more with positioning than actually making the play.
Do you want, when you see things like this, right? And like, hey, it's incompetence and just.
Yes.
But.
Yes.
But I got to be honest with you. Like, we just have this whole Malik Beasley thing that's going on. Like, how do I watch that and not think the umpire's on the take? What else am I supposed to think? I'm just waving a runoff. Huh?
But here's the other thing. With as hard as these guys are hitting baseballs now, and as deep as possible, as deep as they can get to protect that guy from scoring. So the infield is extremely deep to try to stop the ball, to stop the guy from second scoring. Now that's positioning.
Mm-hmm.
What in the hell makes you think that an old guy who's not a world-class athlete is going to be able to get out of the way with him standing in the infield looking at second base?
I'm just frustrated, man.
Stupid on baseball's part. That guy should never be there.
Why do they need humans to do this?
Especially in that situation.
What do we need anymore? Let's just get the robots out here. We don't need it.
Listen, when I watch baseball and I watch some of the calls that are made and I watch some of the balls and strikes that are called.
You're watching it now?
Yeah,
and I watch dumb crap like this. And I watch dumb crap like this, right? I'm truly starting to believe that we don't need him. When you have that much of an impact on a game because you're bad or you're in a bad spot, get him out of there. And so when they say, oh, we need him for this, this, and this, in order for him to get out of the way, he had to be better than the second baseman. Who's getting paid millions of dollars?
It's crazy, man.
That's the part from an athlete perspective. That's the part I need people to understand. Right? It's like the umpire or the referee standing in the middle of the field in football. There's a guy running 4-5 or better across the middle of the field. There's a quarterback throwing a piss whistle trying to throw it in between two defenders. How the hell is he going to get out the way? It's crazy that somebody in baseball, in all of the baseball that they've watched, have come to the conclusion the best place for this guy to be right there is to be pointed at second base like this and not looking at home plate.
Well, do me a favor, Emil Jimenez, with your ass at first base today. Stay in foul territory, huh? Just stay on the other side of the line. Do me
get
a favor.
Get out of the way.
Just get out of the way, Emil.
Get out of here.
And then, after all that, they run home. After the game, they get the hell out of there they don't have to answer to
don't
them.
Gotta, yeah, what are you going to do? Talk to one reporter about what happened? You get out of here.
It's like, I just don't like in any sport when after a hard-fought game or a close game that we're not talking about great pitching, we're not talking about great hitting, great fielding. We're talking about a guy who should have no impact on the outcome of the game. He is there to officiate. He should have no impact on the game. You should not be talking about a call he made or him being in the way.
This is the thing where it comes down to, right? It's like, let's say he doesn't call it. Is Rocco Baldelli, who, by the way, him being the Minnesota Twins manager warps my mind a little bit. But Rocco Baldelli, does he come out there and he goes, "Oh, you interfered with it"? No! It looked like a hit! Ridiculous. Anyway.
Not really.
Headlines are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Fish back at it today. 12:10 is your first pitch. Yuri Perez on the hill.
Somebody said. Toby is so proud of Leroy right now.
I am. I'm very proud of him. He hates umpires. If I get officiating mess ups, I get Leroy.
Because I just say they should not have that much of an impact on a game, right? They shouldn't. Because guess what? A ball is a ball. A strike is a strike.
If you think he's mad,
you're just there to call it.
If you think he's mad now, wait till we get to the Jonnu Smith quotes from the Teron Armstead podcast.
That bad?
I know what this is going to be.
Oh, he's not going to be happy. Leroy's not going to be.
You know
happy.
Why? I'm going to tell you why. It's going to be something along the lines of, I just asked them for this, and they said no. That's usually how it goes. That he ended up with $12 million, but he would have taken less to stay with the Dolphins, and they said no, thank you.
We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. Lots to get into with the Heat as well. An excellent piece by Barry Jackson diving into the Heat's plan. So we'll get into that. Tyler Hero's doing weird stuff on YouTube. Back after this. Oh, hello, Frog Boy.
Hello.
You see that fish game last night?
Listen, before we go any further, did you see what happened to the Marlins yesterday?
What a disaster.
Jeez, if only Leroy had plenty of hot takes on baseball.
Oh, he hates umpires.
Yeah, he does.
I just want to watch baseball.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy baseball.
Except when you're making ribs.
I can't believe that.
Except when you're making ribs and shaving them.
Can I just say something?
Hmm?
Besides Brittany, ain't nobody ever complained.
They are really good ribs. Pretty good ribs.
I'm complaining now because I didn't have them yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Remember, I didn't cook them yesterday.
Last July 4th, I just
This is for tomorrow.
This is prep.
Yeah.
This is prep.
You can do a drive-by. I did it last year.
You missed the Marlins for prep.
Yeah. Well, it takes a minute. I got 10 racks of ribs. You got to shave them. You got to get the membrane off the back.
I don't like that.
Wrap them in saran wrap.
I don't like just the term membrane.
Yeah, sounds gross.
Well, it's here.
Insane.
If you eat somebody's ribs, here's the deal. If you eat somebody's ribs and you got to go at it like a Rottweiler, it's because they didn't take the membrane off the back.
I'm sorry. How does that go? Go at it like a Rottweiler. I just wanted to
know. Everybody knows. Dog with a bone.
Yeah. I like that sometimes, though.
You could, no matter how much, how tender you cook the ribs, if they don't take that membrane off, it's not tender. So you got to take it off. It's a pain in the butt because you got to snip it and then take a paper towel, pull it. And it's work, but well worth it.
Mm.
Then I had to get up this morning, go to Restaurant Depot, get my oysters, my hot dog and hamburger buns.
Getting oyster? Oh, you're gonna fry them, right? They're not doing raw oysters.
No, oysters Rockefeller.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for a second, I was like, wait.
You bake them.
You and Big Spoon,
and then you put them on the grill and get that smoke on them.
Aphrodisiac.
You get that aphrodisiac from the Rockefeller, or only from raw?
No, because when I have, here's the deal.
I can't whistle.
Here's the deal. I'm gonna tell you like this. I enjoy having the family over and friends and stuff like that. But the kids.
Ah.
And you put all that work into food and, you know, kids want a hot dog, they're going to eat 3 bites. They want a soda, they're going to drink 3 sips.
That's true.
And it's just...
This is Tommy Tobin.
It drives me crazy because I know I get my butt whooped for that. Because, you know, you have went over somebody's house and said, hey, don't eat this if you ain't gonna eat the whole thing.
Yeah, we call that the Sophia Tobin. 3 bites, you're done. Tommy makes up for it though. They balance each other out.
Right. So and then there's a mess. There's always a whole bunch of barrettes and hair things in the pool. Somebody is, you know, the little creepy crawly things going clean, keeping the pool clean. Somebody always trying to ride it like Seabiscuit.
Nice.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna have it there, like, it's fun.
It's true.
It's a joyride.
Was there a dog in the water last year too, or did I imagine that?
Yeah, two of them swim.
Yep.
Zeus and Luna. Oh yeah.
But not
so. Like when I want people to get out the pool, I just let them have at it.
But not Dre.
No, Dre don't get in the pool.
All right.
Dre don't get in the pool. Oreo don't get in the pool.
I know that.
It's all dogs with straight ears.
So is today? So yesterday was rib prep day. Is today just explosive prep day?
No, we already got a plan. Hey, listen, when I was telling you about coordinating,
yeah,
you can go online at the same place, and you can coordinate your fireworks to what order, and then it'll show the whole show. And so then Fonz writes it down, and then we do that.
When do we get to see the behind the scenes, Frog Boy? When does
I was going
to
say, you know what? I'm sending the video right now. It'll be ready by next segment.
Oh, I'm so excited.
He gave us 8 tips.
The thing, and then once you do that, right, then you can just, he wrote it down, and then we light him off in order. But I think we lost our little plywood. I got to go pick up some plywood, to a big piece of plywood, so you can sit the fireworks on there.
Did you wet the plywood? I said that in the store, and everyone looked at me like I was stupid.
What term wet the plywood?
Sometimes you got to, you know, this guy's got a real piss whistle on him. He just wets the plywood.
We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. Back after this.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on a holiday Thursday. Last day before we hit the long weekend. What do we got? A best of going tomorrow, Marcos?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We have a best of, which means a lot of games.
What?
A lot of games.
No, okay, we got the epic rant that's going to be involved. The one that got you labeled the ranter.
Thanks. I'm glad that's getting replayed.
Hey, listen, gold is gold.
Thanks for that.
Gold is gold.
Appreciate that.
And we'll hear from our newest rookie as well and a bunch of other goodies on tomorrow's
What's his
best
name?
Of. Watch this. Kasparis Yakujonis.
Oh, pretty good.
Close. I was kind of close.
Pretty
that
good.
Last day, Yakujonis, I felt like I made him a Jonas brother. I made him a Jonas brother.
I mean, even the coach called him Kaz or KJ.
Kaz.
I was lashing out yesterday because Solana corrected me. It's on the Heat's new player, Fontecchio, because I was referring to him as Simone, but it's Simone.
Simone.
But I
no,
lashed
out.
I think it is.
I heard him. Oh, it's Simone.
Simone.
But he's not French.
But I don't know. That's what it says.
I mean,
his phonetical.
I saw ESPN. They said Simone.
I don't think. Yeah, well, I think that's like, I don't think you're Italianing it up.
cut him.
Simone.
I've seen enough.
But
I also told him. I also told him because I was lashing. I said, I don't care. Who cares?
Okay. Wow.
I just was in a dark place. Duncan Robinson just got traded.
Oh.
I know.
I accept it.
I'm just sad. He's gone.
At least he gets to go home.
He does get to go home. And he makes a lot of money this year.
Well, he'll be appreciated.
Think so. I mean, unless...
The only thing we appreciated here was his 2-for-2.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's the only thing we appreciated.
Really? Because when he went in and gave us a 2-for-2, his ass was out.
Now, remember when he owned Wendy?
You can't have 2,002 minutes and stay in the game, Leroy.
Remember, he dunked on Wemby, right? Or he crossed Wemby. He put a move on him.
Oh, no. He gave the hezzy on Wemby. He took Wemby's soul.
Yeah.
He took Wemby's soul. I think he did it multiple times.
Yeah, he did.
First of all, just say that out loud.
He did.
Duncan Robinson hit him with the hezzy.
Wait.
He did.
I know he did.
Well, Duncan Robinson was at a point where all he was doing was playing because he was not playing. So all he was doing was playing 3-on-3 upstairs. So I think he worked on his game a lot. You're just sitting up there just playing with kid.
To me, does that seem like a waste of talent?
I don't think it's a waste.
For a team that couldn't score?
I think, here's the thing. Here's the thing. We can't not say that he stunk up the joint at certain points. He did. And he lost his job. And he rightfully lost his job to Max Strus.
Yes. Agreed.
That's why it happened. Like, he had competition. He started bricking it, especially right after he got his money. That's where the fuck comes. And Max Strus was coming along, and he was hitting shots, and he also wasn't getting gun. Like, it really happened when he started getting gun shy. And they're just like, you know, I think Jimmy Butler was like, "Hey, put Strus in," and that's how he initially lost his gig. And then he worked his way back. His season last year was really good up until his back injury. I think that was arguably one of his best seasons. And then his back got cooked.
What about when he told Jaylen Brown that he wasn't that guy?
You're not like that, yeah.
Hey, that was
good. That's good. That was good.
You're not like that.
Also, where'd you get that jersey
from? That would go
down
as one of the funniest things ever said by a guy who nobody knew talked trash.
Well, it was funny yesterday, Ron Holland, the fiery forward, young forward from the Pistons, he retweeted Duncan Robinson and him fighting from last year. And he said, now I can finally admit that he hurt me.
Well, wait, Marchand did it?
Because nobody really wants to admit that Duncan Robinson gave you the business.
Yeah.
Marchand did it.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. All right, so do we have Leroy's shenanigans going down at the firework place?
Yes, I have Leroy's shenanigans, his 8 tips to a successful July 4th and a successful firework shopping process. I present to you Leroy Horde in his element.
It's a lot of fireworks.
Listen, let me explain something to you. People come over to your house, all they want is... they want to see some boom in the sky, and they want it to last a little bit. So you can't get 8 shots. You can't get 8 shots. It's over in like 3 seconds. Buy one, get one. 3:49. No. No. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Wait. 3:49 for 2 minutes. I'll fight folks over here.
We got the
X-ball. This is how you do it, Marcos.
Monster Mayhem. I think you got this last year too.
Stop texting me, Tobin.
What did I text him?
Coordinate. You got the coordinate. I'll be like this. Yeah. Go ahead and get some more candles.
Be agile on lighting.
Oh, God.
So I didn't charge you last night. I was tired, man. I went to double.
Plug it in. Like, I'll never go to bed without plugging my phone in.
Wow.
Tip number 7, gotta bring money.
$486?
$486?
For boom.
Happy 4th of July. Be safe. But if you're not gonna be safe, blow some shit up.
That wow. Words to live by.
Look at that.
Words to live by.
The most exciting part of that was SWAT guy. Because.
Yeah, you guys, did you put SWAT guy in there?
I have SWAT guy, but I tried to. Okay, the man with the gun. I didn't want to put the camera.
From the time we walked out of the building, and the parking lot is not right by it. You got to walk probably 50, 60 yards. From the time we walked out of the building and noticed him, because we saw the pink car when we got there.
Yeah.
So when we saw the dude by the pink car, it was already like, okay.
I'm really confused.
From the time we started out of the building till the time we put all of our stuff in the car, he was still strapping up.
What confuses you, Brittany?
The fact that there was a pink car and somebody seemed to have a weapon with a pink car. That's very...
That's fair.
No.
There's no context.
Not weapon.
Context. Yeah.
Weapons.
Oh.
They're
happening. I'm telling you,
this
he
was
had
a security guard.
He had anything
fireworks?
Other than a hand grenade. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think
hand grenade would have made the outfit.
I think we're starting to learn. Like the fireworks, obviously they got to secure themselves because there's a lot of robberies. Maybe he's only there for the back. We're like, hey, we got a truck coming in today with a bunch of Roman candles. We got to keep it protected.
All I know is he had
a guy in the back.
Vest on.
Yeah. Wow.
He put a vest on. He had he didn't have like a holster. He had a strap to his thigh.
It's got
to
be efficient.
Like G.I. Joe style.
Now
he had two extra clips.
Outside of his pants?
Yes.
And listen, okay. Not for nothing. But once you do all that prepping, I can't see a badge that says security. It needs to say FBI, SWAT, local police station. It needs to be something more than just security.
What was I texting you about?
Ekblad had just resigned.
Oh!
Great reason to be
interrupted.
Yes.
That was on Monday?
Yes. And
but
by the way,
I couldn't, but here's the problem. I was going because you put the thing on
the
and
QR
you take
code?
A picture of the barcode
and
it shows you what the fireworks do.
Mm. Okay.
Every time I went to do it, I'm like, come on.
He blames that though. He blames that for sure. But I did see him open up his camera, go to a barcode, and take a picture of it. And I'm like, Leroy, that's not how you do it.
Take
you have to wait
what?
Till the barcode. I was like, you got to wait for it to load, and then you click the link.
Listen.
And he was just taking a picture of the barcode. Like, why isn't this working?
Hey!
Leroy versus
Marcos! That was between us!
I'm so sorry.
Listen, so is you listening to a seatbelt.
So instead of, you know, letting the little square show up.
Yeah.
I accidentally hit to take a picture of it, and he was...
So let me get this straight.
Marcos,
No. Hold on here. So your salute, you thought just taking... No. Stop talking. You thought just taking a picture of the QR code was going to make magic appear, not realizing you got to wait for the link to pop up?
No, it was a slight... fat finger situation. But
no,
but Marcos is standing behind me and he goes, mm-mm.
Wait, Marcos. He thought just taking a picture of the QR code makes magic.
That QR code kicked his ass.
What?
Every place. This is the process. This is how you do it, Marcos. Can't scan it. Fonz, do this damn barcode. And then as you can see, he's chastising Fonz because his battery is dead because he's now the QR code guy. So,
you know what? I think now we need outtakes.
Oh, outtakes.
That's not even the worst part. Some guy walked up to me and said, you work here?
Well, this guy's breaking down the shot count.
You can barely handle a QR code.
You mentioned the term shot count.
Yeah. Oh man, the research they were doing with the Roman candles was just like exquisite to the point that like other people started chiming in, and this poor guy is like, sir, please. He was like maybe 6 years old. Sir, do you work here? And Leroy says, get out of here, chump.
I was a grown ass man.
Yeah, okay, maybe he was a grown ass man, but I like it better in my brain as a little child.
I really don't think they would allow.
So yeah, and then the reason why. The reason why I got to go with Fonz, because Fonz will get all kind of ridiculous stuff. The first thing he grabbed was a tube the size of a garbage can, and I'm like, absolutely not. Right? He said, it's only $30. I'm like, no. So I don't do handhelds. I don't do bottle rockets. I don't do that. Right.
Don't do technology.
Because when you get people around, they want to shoot them at people. They want to shoot it at stuff because they hold it. And, you know, so I'm
it's
like,
fun, though.
Uh-uh. See,
it's fun. I mean, the most fun fireworks are the ones that can go and shoot somewhere.
No. I say, you want to have fun? Hold on to this pink sparkler.
People on the chat, Dade South, 0-77.
Marcos!
Sorry, buddy. I apologize.
Karen says...
The way he just... Like, he didn't even do it like that. Like, how he told the story right there.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, Leroy, are you taking a picture of the foreground? I said, no.
He did respond with no.
Dadesav also points out, you don't have to be so close. Like, that's you can thing, zoom yeah. in from your camera. Like I QR code from my couch all the time.
To be honest, that's what I was trying to do. But when your phone turns on, you can't do the, like.
Okay, dude. Damage is done.
When your phone turns on?
That's what
on,
I was trying
what
does to
that do. Mean? So, no. So, if you're too close to your phone and your phone turns on and whatever you had on, then you can't do the Q code. It has to be like
the Q code.
The QR code. So you have to be on the home screen. So it kept opening. So that was messing me up too.
Jay Goddess says the old versus technology is hilarious.
Wait, it's a great segment.
Dude, I can't believe you, Marcos. Like, I thought.
I'm so sorry.
I actually thought, because today is Thursday.
Yeah,
I thought we was gonna make it to the weekend.
Almost, like, we almost did.
almost
made
secret?
It. Almost made it.
I'm so happy this happened. You really are. You are adorable.
So yeah, and then you know I had to save some dollars because you got to do. You know how when you go to the store with your kids, and they have the candy in the aisle that you're paying.
Yeah.
At the fireworks place, they do that with the fireworks.
Oh, that's cool.
And we all stand there. And then the dude said, we usually just get one because we got the one last year. It's the same one. Like, so we knew what it'd do. So we get it, right? And the guy goes, they're $4 for $100.
Ooh.
I'm like, so this whole warehouse has buy one, get one. This costs $25. And you yell at me $4 for $100?
You know what that is? You know what that is, though? That's like the old Publix trick when they try and get you with the 3 for $10. You know, like they're trying to really,
yeah,
like,
you could buy one.
They think you,
or
yeah,
buy three.
They're trying to make it seem like they're sweetening the pot.
Publix, you sleeping on this part. Like, now we gotta buy 8 to get one. I don't want 8.
8's a lot.
Right? Buy 2, get one. Like, who wants 2 cases of soda?
BOGO's
to get
BOGO.
One free?
Just, it's buy one, get one. This buy 2 to get one, too much.
Yeah. No.
All right, we'll take a break. Hour 2 is next. It's our 2. It's our 2. Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A for effort. Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's our 2. It's our 2.
Tua.
Tua. Tua, go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Our Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of
Tua the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Let's get to our headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Marlins, their win streak was snapped by a slow-ass umpire yesterday. They lost to the Twins 2-1. Rubber matches this afternoon at 12:10. The young phenom himself, Yuri Perez, on the hill for the fish. Kyle Stowers hit his 15th home run of the season. He is scorching hot.
Should have had another RBI if it wasn't for old cement feet over there at second base.
Old cement feet.
Anyway, that's that. Jonnu Smith. He was on Teron Armstead's podcast yesterday and explained a little bit. Where his heart was with the whole trade scenario. He said, quote, "I didn't foresee this happening with how the season went for me individually. I had aspirations of ending my career in Miami with it being home for me, my children, my family, but I understand the business side and it didn't work out. I'm grateful. I have no ill feelings towards the Miami Dolphins or nobody in the organization. We started this conversation in January with Miami and obviously giving me the runaround. We'll get back to it. Obviously, they had some things they had to address. I understand that. I was patient with them throughout the entire process and eventually came to the point where they told me they just can't do it and weren't economically in position to pay me like a Pro Bowl tight end." So he says, "You always want to be where you are valued and appreciated, and that's the situation I found myself with in Pittsburgh." So no ill feelings, Leroy, but obviously,
that was no secret. I mean, what he basically said with all the stuff that was going on from January to now, you could tell he wasn't a priority.
Yeah, it's also one of those things where, like, if they started getting to that at the end of the season, though, the one thing I would say is, man, they couldn't have gotten to this a little bit sooner, because, like, what was going to change where you were going to be in a better position? Look, we know the Dolphins came into this draft with a lot of holes. So I know people say, well, why not just draft Elijah Arroyo at some point? Like, look, the Dolphins had holes on the interior line. They had holes in the defensive backfield. They had a huge hole next to Zach Sealer that they had to fill, which they did in the first round. But, you know, all respect, I mean, their solution to this was to go get a guy who hasn't played football in a year. And I don't know how that's going to work out.
Right. I mean, look, I think part of the reason why they have the tight end they have is because dude probably got ran out of the league from all them quarterbacks he played for the last 4 years. That being said, I mean, it's kind of the same situation Jonnu Smith was in before he got to Miami, that, like, how can I put it? Okay, when you have talent to play any sport, you always have that talent. You don't all of a sudden, you know, find talent that you've never showed, you know, as you get further in your career. Like, it's there. Sometimes the circumstances don't actually use your talents to its fullest extent. So a lot of it had to do with the circumstance he was in that people say, oh, he had one good year. You know, same thing with who did he just sign? The tight end.
Darren Waller.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, the talent is there. It just needs to be in a good situation. And I think the Dolphins said, hey, we do appreciate your abilities, but our situation and how we use the tight end, we can find another guy. That's basically what they said.
Rothschild says, Johnny was an alternate Pro Bowler. Yeah. You think they brought that up in negotiations?
Good point. Good point.
He goes, hey, well, you would have. Not a true Pro Bowler.
You would have.
Not like, a true Pro Bowler.
Could you imagine Tobin negotiating? He goes, hey, I made the Pro Bowl.
Well,
Alternate.
Mac Jones was a Pro Bowler 2 years ago.
It's only because Kelsey couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Now, he was a I think he was a deserving Pro Bowler, as I do think that, you know, Zach Sealer was a deserving Pro Bowler. Dolphins didn't have a good season, so, you know, that usually goes the individual accolades unless they, like, blow the doors off somebody. Now, Zach Sealer's did, but usually will get you into the Pro Bowl. But, look, I get it. You see the numbers about where his season was, where the other people were, and you're like, yeah, he definitely deserves. He definitely shouldn't be making half the money of Mike Gesicki with the season that he just had.
Here's what you need to understand. So, when Darren Waller comes in, he may only have, I'd say, between 45 and 60 catches, right? And it doesn't mean that Jonnu Smith had a better year. Because what's also probably going to happen, what needs to happen, is Tyreek and Jalen Waddle need to have better seasons.
For sure.
So if Darren Waller comes in and he has 45 catches, don't worry about Jonnu Smith having 80, because those numbers should reflect what Tyreek and Waddle are doing.
I will say,
if Tyreek and Waddle have two more bad years,
right,
then the tight end's going to have more catches. Yeah. But it has to do with protection, the run game. It's all tied in together.
I do think that, like, between bringing in Westbrook Akine and Malik Washington stepping up a little bit too, like, I think they got a little bit more depth in that wide receiver room than they did last year, where they're like, we were sitting here, we're like, today's the day, Odell, he's going to get it going. He's going to get it going. And, you know, barely could walk when he got here.
Hey, if y'all could get me on that QR code, we better keep pounding Marcos on that hot take right there.
Whoa. No need.
I remember when we had the discussion. Yeah. You weren't here, Tobin. Mm. And I was like, he goes, 8 to 10 million, baby.
You know, a little something, something.
Like, that's a lot of money for what you got.
Yeah, true. Robbed. Saw him posted a picture with his son reflecting on his Giants days. One-hit wonder. Sick of this guy. It's all right, though. We got Darren Waller, baby. Just a little $5 million. Nothing crazy.
Well, up to. Hey. I don't even think he got $5 million guaranteed.
Oh, look at that.
Hold on.
Not that much money.
Marcos.
Yeah.
You say that. Dude has not played football in a while.
Yep.
I mean, remember they tried to do that with Deshaun Watson? How did he look when he came back?
Not great. But even when he was playing football, who was throwing him the ball? Who was the quarterback? Tommy Cutlets?
I already put that out there.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to piggyback on that. That's all I got.
What?
But he hadn't played football. Nobody been throwing him the ball for the last 2 years.
Really, that's not my problem. My problem is the horrible music he's been making. I really wish he would stop. It is not helping me online.
It's his art.
Oh, no.
He's very expressive. He's got a lot of deep thoughts. I mean, like, look, he seems like he's gone through a hard life,
yeah,
and has dealt with a lot, which, great. Like, if this is a salvation for him and he's got a great relationship with Frank Smith, that's going to be a cool story to root for. I'm coming into it with zero expectations.
Mm. Right.
Like,
you could not know less of how this is going to turn out. I don't think anybody knows. Hell, I don't think the Dolphins know.
No, I don't think.
It didn't work out. They just signed him.
I don't know. I don't know. I think,
so if he would have came in and worked out, somebody would have said something, right?
They got to have him. He had to catch something off of the jugs machine, yeah? What are you doing a workout?
Jugs machine?
What are you doing a workout? I don't even know.
Yeah.
You know what?
Gotta hit
Can
the
I
jugs
just say
machine,
this?
You know?
I know some Hall of Famers on the jugs machine.
Oh, really?
But if you put the smallest person in their area,
mm-hmm,
and they're running, they can't catch a cold.
Did you ever have to do a workout?
A lot of them.
To show off?
Like, pre-draft.
Ah, okay. But there was never the situation where...
No.
Yeah.
Just put on the tape.
No, I already, really.
Sometimes.
Very successful.
You want me to work out?
I didn't mean to insult you. I was just asking a question.
You think I'm Darren Waller?
Put it this way. I got to the point where all I got was a phone call, and I say yes or no.
Wow.
Nobody ever called me and say, hey, let me see what you got. Right? Like, yeah.
So no jugs machine, huh?
And guess what? I got calls for 2 years after I
retired. Yeah. That's why I was wondering maybe in that, like did you ever think about like dialing it up?
I forgot who the coach was with the Saints. And I remember I always wanted to at least play one season with the Saints. And my agent asked me, if somebody calls, who would you listen to? And I said, New Orleans. And the Raiders called. They had a couple other teams call. And it got to, like, I want to say September. And I know exactly when I had surgery. I had surgery on 9/11.
Like V9/11?
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa.
So, they called me in October. And ooh. I was like, oh. I said, if you would have called me a month earlier, I wouldn't have got the surgery.
Mm.
But I had a surgery that required a lot of rehab. So, I had microfracture, and I told you what that is. It's torture.
Luis says, Leroy was upper echelon. Don't act shocked. Dude was good at football. I know he was good at football, Luis.
That's a hot take.
I didn't mean it like that.
Hot take right
I
there.
Know that he had the weird thing with the Panthers, and I was like, was there a workout there at any point? And then I know about the people trying to flirt with you. I just didn't know if they did you ever get called in? Dude, Jesus.
Come on.
I'm not treating him like he's Lusaka.
I had the
polite.
Weirdest career
whoa.
2 months, I lived in 4 cities. And then I went to Minnesota, got there on a Tuesday, and was starting on Sunday night on Sunday. And that was it. And I was there for 5 years.
Sight unseen. He just rolls
right,
in.
Right. It was crazy. But they'll call you. They'll call and say, hey, how you feeling? Want to play some football? Or are you engaged?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, for a good team. Absolutely. And I got to Minnesota on a Tuesday, practice on a Wednesday. I got no sleep the whole week. And then Sunday they go, you're the guy. I'm like, what?
Man, that's tough. That's tough for football.
Sometimes you just
I've never been, put it this way, in all of my life, I'm talking about peewee, high school, playing in front of 110,000, 105,000, going to Cleveland. I have never been more nervous than when I went on that field for Minnesota for the first time and didn't know any of the plays.
At least you had Brad Johnson.
That was kind of. He was getting – when we got to the third quarter, he was really getting annoyed, turning around. And I'm trying to look to see what coverages they in, checking protections, changing routes, and you back behind me going, Brian,
wait, who was your
do purple me?
Who were you facing? What team was it? Do you remember?
The Raiders.
Oh, man. Who did they have? What do you have, Romanowski on the other side?
Oh.
It was 95. Mm. Was it 95 or 96? 96.
Mm.
So, yeah, I didn't – like, yeah, it was terrifying. It would be the equivalent to me and you showing up to work and Jay Fig, Marcos, and Brittany aren't there, and you have to interview somebody, and you say, go run the board. No, it's that. That's how crazy it is. Like, to just – it's a whole new offense. It's like alone and afraid in a country with a different language. Right? Because, like, even though the plays are the same, like, you have off tackle, you have stretch plays, you have counter plays, right? The blocking schemes and the play calls and the checks are all different.
Our boy dropped a hundy in that game, though.
Yeah.
A hundy without knowing the plays?
20 nope. carries, 108.
Hey.
You know.
Hey.
That's impressive.
That's what he did. Point.
That way.
And I cramped up. Because it was raining, it was muddy, and it went into overtime.
Yeah, I get that. Sometimes you just got to wet the plywood, and then you can just power through.
Stop it.
Marcos, why? Can I ask you a question? Why do you think that some of the things you say are either good or funny, and you just keep...
I was waiting.
Wet the plywood, just so you do realize
that
the fireworks have a stem on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wet the plywood and the stem gets wet, then you can't light the fireworks.
Yeah, but in the trenches, you can totally wet the ball.
No Romanowski that day for the Raiders.
Yeah,
no.
Looking at it.
And I went through, that was one of the few football games, no lie, all the four seasons. Oh. Rain, it got cold, it was hot, it was windy. It got so cold, I thought it was going to, sleet. And then it got hot again. It was crazy.
Take a break here on the show. Back after this.
In a sign and trade move, the Heat have sent Duncan Robinson to the Pistons for Simone Fontecchio. We're talking about it.
Heat Summer League starts Saturday versus the Spurs in San Francisco. Kasparis Giakoumidis will be there. His coach at the University of Illinois, Brad Underwood, told Tobin and Leroy that